found it. This is the Tidbits Podcast with Dale Lau and Matthew Paul. We're so glad you're here. Enjoy the show.
Well, we made it to a Thursday edition of Tidbits, the seventh day of the month of March. And a good morning to you, Matthew.
Good morning, Dale.
Good to see you.
It's good to see you, buddy.
You know, in just a few short days, it will be 7:22 instead of 6:22.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
With daylight saving time coming up.
Don't forget that.
Right.
When you go to bed Saturday night. Or you can stay up and officially bring it in at 2 a.m.
Set your alarm, have a party. Invite the neighbors over. Hey, guys.
So, that's what we've got to look forward to.
There
so,
you
if you feel weary right now, imagine how you'll feel.
Mm.
For instance, on Monday. So don't forget that.
Okay.
It's coming up on...
Thanks, Dale.
When you go to bed Saturday night, move your clocks forward.
Appreciate that reminder.
All right. Of course, you know, we're just getting to the point where it's getting daylight at a reasonable hour of the morning.
Yeah.
And then we're, you know, now it's going to... Why do we got to mess with it? We're in the wrong time zone. If we're going to do it, we should be central. I've said that all along.
To me, honestly, just pick one. I don't care. Just pick one. And let's stay with it. That's where I'm at.
So you say don't ever change.
Just pick one and keep with it.
Yeah.
This is stupid. I mean, it's stupid. It's just patently stupid.
So you need to become a member of Congress. And you can be on the floor.
I've seen many things in my life, but nothing as stupid as this.
And of course, when you're a congressman, you have to develop a southern accent.
That's right. Because they're all southern. Yep.
All right. Now, this is this is from Vegas.
All right.
And definitely hear what happened in Vegas didn't stay there.
Oh, no.
A guy from Southern California is suing a luxury resort in Vegas, saying he was stung by a scorpion on his testicles.
Oh, no.
While sleeping at the hotel.
While sleeping?
Yeah.
So he's in bed. He's had a great day gambling. Maybe caught you two at the Sphere. Had a few cocktails.
Yeah.
And he's just laying in his bed, snug as a bug.
Yes. Michael Farchi and his family were staying at the Venetian's Palazzo Tower.
Oh, no.
When he was jolted awake. He woke up with sharp pain in his family jewel area.
In his nether regions.
He explains, didn't know that it was, he didn't know what was happening. Reached his hand to see what was happening under the covers, as you do.
Well, yeah.
And then got another sharp pain.
Oh, no.
He was stung at least 3 or 4 times.
Oh, geez.
By the small venomous creature, which he eventually found still clinging to his boxer shorts.
So that scorpion came to fight, man. wow.
Now, in Indiana, didn't we grow up to believe that if you were stung by a scorpion, you're dead?
You're dead within, you know, seconds. Like it was a death sentence.
It's the same as quicksand.
Yes.
I mean, in Indiana, you know, we were always taught to believe that if you're bitten by or stung by a scorpion, you're dead.
Right. Right.
Now, there are evidently different species of scorpion.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
And this exact species and the toxicity of its venom isn't clear. Pictures do show that the arachnid appears perhaps to be an inch. That's it.
That's it?
That's it.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Dang.
Now,
dang.
Of course, he was... Why do you got to be stung there? Okay? Why can't it be in the big toe? Okay?
You know, the thumb, you know, like, you know, your left hand, whatever. It's got to be there. Oh, man.
So he was treated at a local hospital. He filed a report with a hotel staff.
So you got
and he still had
you
to
call
pay.
Front desk, hey, front desk.
He still had to pay.
Hey, could you send up some towels and hey, I And they still had to pay for his room. Yeah. Dang. Dang.
So that's quite a stay there.
Wow.
Now, is Vegas known for that?
I mean, it's in the desert, yeah. So they're going to be a thing.
I mean, do hotels need to take precautions about, you know, I mean.
So I guess I've never been to Vegas. Yeah. If someone has, let us know. Do they warn you about this kind of thing? Is there any sort of, you know, signs up? Hey, be sure and check your sheets, check your shoes. We got scorpions out here.
I mean, that'd be the worst. And it's only about an inch long. Now, again, I don't know what type of species of scorpion live. You know, is it Egypt where they're killers? I mean, when we watch TV and stuff, you're dead.
Right. Well, and you know, when we were kids, they were like a foot and a half long, and they were, you know, just mean. And
I mean, you know, if you were struck, at least I was led to believe that you're dead.
Sure.
You know, you're finished. I always thought the same thing, you know, and in Westerns, when you're bit by a rat, you're finished. Rattlesnake got you. That cowpoke over there is going to suck the venom out of your leg. Uh-huh. And they always had a knife.
Yep.
You'd have to cut it.
Yep. And it was always, you don't tell anybody about this. United States has only one type of scorpion that's considered deadly to humans, the Arizona bark scorpion.
Okay. Now, this one lived in Vegas. Okay, so it evidently wasn't in Arizona.
The Arizona bark scorpion. What do we know about that?
How big do they get, Matt? Well,
that's what I'm going to find out.
Because, you know, all the movies told us you're dead and they're huge. They were never an inch, you know, never that size.
They have a lifespan of 5 to 7 years.
Okay.
Okay. Aggressive. Okay, aggressive. Are they aggressive? Let's find out that.
Okay.
Put away the old Hollywood idea of large, dangerous scorpion chasing people through.
See? There it is.
Bark scorpions are typically non-aggressive and seek to avoid human contact. But when they do, you're dead. You're a dead man. They have two broad, dark, lengthwise bands on the surface of the abdomen. So when you are getting chased by one, observe it, examine it, check out its abdomen.
Who's got time for that?
They also have dark, triangular shape on their front portion of their head. So take a good look at their head and their abdomen. That's how big are they?
Because, you know, they're big in Egypt.
It says they're small. It says it's okay. Small, so.
Because like in the Mummy movies, they're big. They appear to be large.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And plentiful.
Yeah, they're all over the place. Yes. Well, it's a quarter of an inch up to 3 inches.
Okay.
So that's.
A quarter of an inch up to three.
So, you know, yeah.
They just look humongous in the Mummy movies.
Sure, sure.
But again, that's not here in North America.
Right, you know, right.
So that's what you've got to look forward to if you head out west. And that'd be what would happen to me at spring training. I go to see the Cubs, and I get bit by a scorpion in the sack.
You got to call the front desk.
I mean, what's the results? I presume you swell.
Okay, here we go. Okay. all right. The largest scorpion ever found.
Oh, the largest ever.
Gigantometris swammerdamii. Gigantometris.
Oh, it's gigantus.
Commonly called the giant forest scorpion, is a scorpion belonging to the family Scorpionidae. It is native to India.
All right,
and India. Is the world's largest scorpion species with 9 inches long.
No kidding.
9 inches. Now that.
And then that stinger's got to be popping out of there.
Yeah.
It's like a bumblebee. The stinger really is larger than, you know, it's almost as large as the body of the bee.
Exactly.
You know, it's like. Imagine getting jabbed by that thing. Is it deadly? Is it a death sentence, Matt?
Let's see here. Let's see. Giant forest scorpions also have enlarged food handling pinchers and a segmented tail with venomous stinger at the end of it. But are they deadly? Are they deadly? What's it called? What did I say it was?
Gargantuan. It's a gargantuan scorpion.
The Gigantometrus. Gigantometrus. So I would love to hear from people if you've been to Vegas, is that a thing?
Yeah.
Like, are they warn you about this? I mean.
And, so basically they're dealing with things like us. That would be the equivalent of a crawdad having a stinger.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're playing in the creek.
There he is.
A deadly strike from the crawdad because they've got the claws.
That's right.
And some of them get pretty big. Like many lobsters, so there you go. That's our start on this edition of Tidbits. We'll see if we get anything in our mailbox, because our mailbox is always open, Matt.
Well, it sure is.
And so anyway, you can always text Matthew your insights and information if you've been to Vegas.
Okay, so real quick, larger scorpions tend to have less potent venoms compared to smaller. So the smaller, the more...
So
more
this,
deadly.
This little guy at an inch could have been deadly.
Could have been deadly.
Especially.
Imagine death by staying to,
it's the worst.
It's the worst, they were probably having a great time. You know what I mean? They were probably having a great vacation.
It's just, I can't imagine what to... And then it's hanging on his boxers after it's finished. So
he came looking for a fight.
At least you got evidence of what did it. It is 6:34. Let's check news with Karen.
This is Tidbits.
You have to wonder if Zebra Country doesn't have a clear sky at 38.
Makes you wonder.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing how temperatures can vary within short distances?
Yeah, we're not that far apart.
Yeah.
So
here we are, Tidbits. We've covered a scorpion. And now you think back to this, and, you and I, when we went, because we went to see Notre Dame playing in Chicago a few years back, and it was blustery. It was in October. So it wasn't, but it was chilly.
Yeah.
Breezy, of course, in Chicago. Now, if you think back to Kansas City and their playoff against Miami, and the temperature was at 4 below.
Yeah.
Now they're saying that some Kansas City Chiefs fans who attended that NFL game in January are being recommended to schedule amputations.
Are you serious? Amputations?
Yeah.
Because they were so cold.
Yeah.
Like frostbite. Dang.
Now, that's a fan. 70% of frostbite patients at the Grossman Burn Center of Research Medical Center in Kansas City received since January are being advised to undergo the life-altering procedure. Now, at Arrowhead Stadium, January 13th, they played Miami, and it was at 4 below when the game started. It got as low as 8 below during the game. One fan who only took their gloves off for 5 minutes to set up a tent in the parking lot, was left with red fingertips that have since turned dark blue and purple.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
You don't think about, I remember as a kid coming in, your feet are, they're like, they're burnt. It's like a burn feeling.
Yeah, yeah. They're all red and cold. It's cold and
The 30% of patients who are on discussion of amputations have been undergoing treatment over the past weeks in hyperbaric oxygen tanks.
Jeez.
Those individuals, while they keep their fingers and toes, will still have long-lasting effects from the cold weather. So you'd never dream that you'd go through something like that. That was the coldest, the lowest, at Arrowhead Stadium since it opened in 1972. -4, and then it got as low as 8 below. During the game.
Man.
I'm not sure what the winds were like there, but I mean, that is, we've had that here. It's cold. But to set
it's dangerous. Yeah, I mean, it's...
And they don't call them off. What was it? Was it the early 80s, I think, when Cleveland was in a playoff game? And it was like negative 50? Something like that. Maybe you could research that. It was, okay. I think, early 80s, and it was in Cleveland. And if I'm not mistaken, it was just bitter, bitter, bitter cold.
Mm-hmm.
And how? And sure enough, you know, all the dog pound, they don't care. You know, this just unbelievable.
So the 1967 NFL championship game between the Packers and the Cowboys, considered the coldest NFL game in history.
That was at frigid Lambeau Field.
The game, which took place December 31st, 1967 at Lambeau Field in Green Bay, had a temperature of minus 13 at kickoff and a wind chill of minus 48.
Okay.
Packers won 21-17.
So maybe it was in the negative 30s or something in Cleveland. I swear they was very cold in early 80s.
Hmm.
But, you know, what do I know, Matt? That just seems like yesterday to me.
It's true. I mean, it's been 10 years since we went to that Notre Dame game. So.
Yeah. Has it been that long?
Yeah.
Jeez. What happens to the time? So anyway, we move along to, of course, we're getting to the time of year where, you know, you're getting close to getting out of school. You know, the kids are.
We're
in the month of March now.
And yep.
Here's a high school in Kentucky evacuated after fart spray was released inside the facility. Inside the facility.
Oh, my gosh.
A school resource officer at Oldham County High School in Buckner, Kentucky, reported that shortly after 11 a.m., school officials began receiving reports of a strong gas odor. The scent prompted officials to evacuate students and faculty from the building.
So it was that bad that we had to get people out of the building. We don't know what it is, but it smells dangerous.
The fire department responded to the scene along with police. About seven students were evaluated after they reported discomfort. No students needed further medical care, however.
Come on.
Now, what kind of discomfort are you experiencing? Are you getting sick?
I don't feel right. Ms. Hotsapple, I don't feel right.
There was always those kids that took advantage of every situation. Okay.
Right, right. Oh, my head hurts. And I got, oh. What kind of tests were being given that day? Let's find that out.
Firefighters used equipment to clear the odor from the facility, and all students returned.
They used the equipment. They're just spraying Febreze. They're just walking around. All right, we got it. Bring it back in.
Detectives determined that the cause of the odor was a non-toxic concentrated liquid product commonly advertised online for use in pranks, with the school describing the product basically as fart spray. You've got fart spray, barf dust.
Oh, yeah.
Authorities worked alongside school officials. I'm sure this was a big deal, you know. Because, you know, you got all these units there, the police, the fire department.
Yeah, they're all there. You got kids being discomforted in the background. Oh, I don't feel right. I don't feel right at all.
Authorities worked alongside with school officials. They were able to...
Now, here's the deal. Here's the deal. You hear this, and you automatically, I guarantee you, if you're listening along, you think, a dude did this.
Yeah.
This is totally a dude.
Yeah.
But...
A 17-year-old girl who allegedly poured the liquid inside two trash cans, which caused the evacuation and response from the emergency services. It remains under investigation. Missy, this could go on your permanent record.
Your permanent record. Dang.
Your job interview. I see you shut off fart spray.
You know, we'd love to hire you, but we see back at 24, you were part of the great fart spray episode.
Do you get expelled for that?
I mean, if it was in trash cans, then she could easily say, I was trying to get rid of it. I found it. Someone else had it. I was just trying to throw it away. I didn't know it would do this, you know. And that may very well have been what she was doing. I don't know.
You know, because what's it cost for all those units to respond to a fart spray? I mean, really, if you think about it.
I know.
I mean, you know, it's a loss of time. Right. You know. And
completely disrupts the day.
So I presume.
Poor Timmy is in discomfort over in the corner. I need to go home.
You got to play it a bit. You know, if you're one of those kids, you know.
I need to go home, Miss Hot Apple. Will you call my mom?
This involving an Omaha woman arrested after she allegedly smuggled drugs into the Lincoln prison for an inmate in her belly button.
Yeah, there's some scorpions into the inmate.
It's in her belly button.
Wait, what?
Nebraska State Patrol was called to the prison after being notified that a visitor attempted to give an inmate contraband. Alicia Kane had visited Dylan Deblin that morning. She said Deblin asked her via the prison messaging app and prison calls to bring meth to him while he was incarcerated. She said she brought the drugs, bought them, and then brought them into the prison by putting plastic-wrapped balls of meth inside of her belly button. How deep is this crevice?
How deep is your belly button? My gosh!
I've read stories where people, you know, are hiding, like, guns under their belly fat.
Yeah, like fat rolls and things like that, but belly button?
The extremes that people will go through.
Man.
So I'm wondering just how deep this thing is.
How deep is your belly button?
She claims she got a bowl and put both candy and the plastic-wrapped balls of meth inside of it before placing it on the table. So they evidently can have a bowl of candy while they chit-chat. You know?
Okay.
Authorities also got permission to search her car and her phone. They found two pipes and synthetic cannabinoid inside the vehicle, along with the messages from the prison messaging app where Deblin and Kane used code words.
I knew they did. I knew. I was going to say they had to use some kind of code. They had to be.
To arrange for the drugs to be brought to the prison. Yeah, I could use, you know, I don't know what they would use.
Hey, can you bring pictures of Beth? I miss seeing Beth. Can you bring Beth?
Something. And there's something a lot real of potholes out there.
I wish you could do something about the potholes.
How big? Now I'm wondering. I want to see this gut. Okay, I want to see how much you can get in there.
I want to see this gut. Why? Why would you want to?
She faces delivery of methamphetamine and conveying articles to an inmate. Of course, the inmate's going to be in big trouble too, mister.
You would think so.
So, there you go. I mean, I've heard, you know, I don't know. I know that some handguns can be pretty small.
Sure, sure.
But I also heard of some carrying a gun in the rectum. Now, how do you? I'm envisioning a Dirty Harry, you know. That's some rectum.
Good Lord.
Pulling out a .44 caliber. You know, I just don't know how people, you know. It's just the world of crime.
Right.
And finally, a museum in St. Louis, Missouri, is celebrating a local holiday by asking visitors to wear underwear on their heads for a Guinness World Record.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Okay.
The city museum said it hopes to gather at least 314 people on the 314th day, March 14th holiday.
No, on 314 day.
Good one, Matt.
Yeah.
Celebrating the 314 area code to wear underpants on their heads for a Guinness World Record. The current record of 270, you know, I mean, it's been going on for years. Okay. I've got it started, and you know, the current record 270 set in Naperville at their bookstore in 2012.
So again, you're sitting around Thanksgiving. Grandma asks you, "What you been up to?" I got a world's record, Grandma. Oh, you did? What'd you do? I wore underwear in my head.
Now, St. Louis. Like our colleague and brought in the dirty, filthy sock.
Oh, of course stocking. You do. It's got to be unwashed.
So you got to have track marks on these underwear, okay?
Of course, it's got to be unwashed and, you know, hopefully a little, like, torn.
Just, you know somebody's gone.
Oh, you know someone did, yeah.
The museum said underwear, presumably clean.
We hope.
Will be provided. They're going to provide it.
Oh, no kidding.
Provided to participants.
Oh, at around that way there's no, yeah. You know, yeah.
On March 14th, and a Guinness World Record adjudicator will be on site to verify. Officials said they only need 271 people to break the record.
Imagine you work for Guinness World Records, and you're sitting in a hotel room on March 14th, and you're looking in the mirror, and you're like, I got to count people with underwear on their heads today. That's my job. What happened? Where did I go wrong? How did I end up here? I wish a scorpion would come along and bite me.
You know, somebody's got to do it.
I guess so. I guess someone has to do it.
And are those guys, you would think they'd be busy all the time. Because there's always somebody trying to break a record.
I know.
So you imagine the travel they must have to do. And what do you get paid? Okay, what do they pay you to do that?
I don't know how Guinness World Records make it. Are they part of the Guinness beer thing?
I don't know.
Are they?
Is that how
I feel like they got
about?
Their starts?
Is that right?
Because of bar bets and things like that.
Bar bets.
No, I'm serious. Yeah.
And heaven knows some of those records that date back. Oh, it started with Jebediah. Daring. All right, so are they connected, really? I never thought of that they were even connected.
I think they have its origins in some sort of trivia book that Guinness put out or something. Yeah.
Because you had that, and then you had Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Right, right.
Yeah. So I guess they'll be trying.
Oh, well, here you go. The Jim Pattison Group, a Canadian company.
Okay.
So the Canadians own it. They've owned Guinness World Records since 2008. The Pattison Group is a privately owned conglomerate that also owns Ripley's Believe It or Not Museums.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
Isn't there Ripley's down there around the neck of the woods, Tennessee, where we travel?
Oh, yeah.
There's Ripley Museum down there.
In Gatlinburg.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
So there you go. What a great day of tidbits. Numerous topics discussed yesterday.
We had a lot, yeah.
Yesterday was just one, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, we did talk snacks. If you looked at the podcast, it was just snacks. We talked about snacks.
So,
today was truly tidbits.
An array of topics.
That's right.
That we've completed. So that'll do it until tomorrow. Then we'll wrap up the week then.
Okay.
Then, of course, we don't do a program Monday. Are you going to go with Best Ofs now on the river?
Yeah.
Now, it won't be on this one because it's too much work.
It would be a lot of work. I mean, I could do it.
But it's too much work.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah. So, anyway, now you can catch a Best Of on Mondays on the river.
That's right.
And, of course, you can check out any of our previous podcasts.
That's right. Just go to wherever you listen to podcasts. Look us up, Tidbits with Dale Lau and Matthew Paul.
Now, I presume you've got a decent amount of stored tidbits now.
Well, we have a ton.
Because, you know, it was kind of helter-skelter at the very beginning when you started doing that.
But now we have a lot.
You know, we've got it's on there.
We're over 500 episodes.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Easy to come up with the best stuff.
Just on the podcast, we're over 500 episodes.
Okay. So anyway, I'll see you tomorrow.
All right.
All right, then.
This has been Tidbits with Dale Lau and Matthew Paul. We appreciate you listening, and we ask that you consider subscribing, leave a comment, leave a like, and thanks for stopping by. We'll talk to you again next time on Tidbits.